Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 4 of Could It Be Podcast. Today I'm going to talk about how I've managed my symptoms over the years. I think I mentioned in a previous episode, I'll always find a way to move or to get through something, and even where my symptoms haven't necessarily been explained in any way, I've sort of put some strategies in place to try and help me through these particular symptoms. Now, just before I start this podcast, I obviously need to say that I'm not a medical professional in any way. I'm just sharing my experience. And this podcast is also not sponsored. These are just brands that I've trialed myself and that I find that work for me. And I thought I'd share these just in case they might help someone else in the same situation as me. So I'll go through the list in the same order as the symptoms that are listed in episode 2. And I'll talk about different things that I've implemented. So firstly, we had hair loss. So I've tried multiple different shampoo and conditioner combos, things such as Waterman's, Bondi Boost, Growth Bomb. I found that they were all really nice shampoos. Waterman's was actually quite good for helping my hair grow quickly, but I'm a little bit, I don't know whether lazy is the right word to use, but I like convenience. Sometimes when I hadn't ordered a restock of the Waterman's in time for it running out, I would end up not bothering to reorder it because I have to go to the local shops and buy something. So I have recently started using a product that is made here in my capital city, and it is a natural look brand, and it's their Purify range. So they have a shampoo and conditioner. I also have a hair tonic that I spray on my head, and also a scalp scrub. I find them to be really beautiful products to use on my hair. My hair is thinning quite a lot, but it's also very fine and it can get really oily quite quickly. So I can wash my hair in the morning. By the afternoon, around my ears especially, like the side of my head, is really oily. So I have found since using this that my hair isn't as oily. I'm trying to kind of train my hair not to need washing as often, especially when it comes to after my surgery, as I'm not sure, you know, how mobile I'll be, whether I'll be able to wash my hair. So that will be a really good product to use on the day of the surgery. It hasn't particularly helped to slow down the hair fall, but I don't think anything would at the moment, just because of, I guess, how much stress my body is under. But like I said, it is a really nice product, and I really like the fact that it is made here in Australia. I've also tried a few different vitamin combinations, so different hair, skin and nail formulas, biotin. I have used the JS Health brand hair and energy formula, and that was great for my nails. My nails have never grown, even since I was a kid, and I did find that they were really strong when I was using that particular supplement. Like I said, when I was talking about the shampoo and conditioner, nothing's helping me right now because of what stress my body is going under. I do also use a high strength biotin in the past that has helped, but maybe in the last year or so, it just hasn't slowed down the hair fall. So at the moment, I'm not really taking anything just because, yeah, there's no point at the moment. And I'll start to take it again after my surgery. So when it came to the hair loss, I have talked about this with my GP. They did send me off for a thyroid function test at the time, but everything came back within normal ranges. So yeah, still unexplained at the moment. I have also been told in the past by a gynecologist that I likely had polycystic ovarian syndrome or PCOS. That was because of a scan that he saw of my one remaining ovary. It was covered in quite a lot of follicles. So he told me I had PCOS when he saw that scan. And one symptom of PCOS is male pattern baldness. So when this hair loss started to occur, I did think, oh, maybe it's because of the PCOS. But since then, I've mentioned before that I've got a really good GP at the moment. When I mentioned the specialist talking about PCOS, she did talk about the fact that I needed more than just the scan to show that I had it. So she sent me off for the relevant hormone testing, and it came back that I actually don't have it. So I spent a good couple of years thinking I did have PCOS when I actually didn't. Another product I like to use, which isn't a vitamin or a shampoo and conditioner type product, so it's not going to help with my hair growth and to stop the thinning out, but it does make my hair look more full when I blow dry it. I purchased recently the Mermaid Blowout Brush, Mermaid being M-E-R-M-A-D-E. I just bought that because my friend recommended it, and it makes my hair look thicker and fuller when I blow dry it. It makes it look super shiny. And even when I had my hair cut last time, my hairdresser commented and said it makes my hair look really nice. So I've been using that instead of a regular blow dryer with brushes because, yeah, it seems to suit me really well. So next on the list was like gut health issues and food intolerances. It was only through a GP care plan referral to a really good dietitian here that led to me finding out that I had these particular food intolerances and most likely irritable bowel syndrome. So the referral was initially to try and stave off endometriosis coming back. I've had some endometriosis removed in surgery in the past, and it was also to help with weight loss. But through conversations with the dietitian, we realized that I was reacting badly to certain high FODMAP foods. And if you don't know what high FODMAP foods are, just jump on Google. There's a lot of information available on those. I didn't go on the completely restrictive FODMAP diet to find out what I was reacting badly to, but I did cut out what I thought was causing me issues and then slowly reintroduce that over time. They do recommend that if you think that you may have irritable bowel syndrome or intolerances to food, to go through a plan with a dietitian. They can obviously guide you best through this kind of thing. So basically, I found that I needed to stay away from large volumes of certain foods, and I've adopted some strategies for when I have a flare up. So, you know, you can't always avoid onion and garlic, especially when you go out for dinner. There will be the occasional flare up when I do eat certain foods. So what I find helps me personally is drinking lots of water, drinking peppermint tea, comfy pants that they're not too tight on my stomach, and heat packs in some circumstances. So next on the list was the joint and muscle aches and slow recovery from workouts. So the first thing and the most heartbreaking for me was quitting CrossFit. I've tried certain vitamins. So again, when it comes to me lacking convenience, I came across a company called Vitable, and I think it was Instagram marketing that came up, and it's a monthly subscription service where they deliver your vitamins in a little compostable pack, and it's like separated into the daily vitamins that you take. You do complete a little course online, and you talk about what your health goals are, and it suggests vitamins based on the questionnaire. So I currently receive that. So I get fish oil, vitamin D, magnesium, and vitamin C. During the pandemic, you know, the gyms were the first thing to close. So I decided to panic buy an entire home gym. So what I have found, I fatigue very easily. So I need to avoid doing the same muscle group a few days in a row. So it's really great that I do have access to so many different machines, and I'm just very fortunate that I was able to buy these things. But I have to split my workouts so that I'm not burning out the same muscle groups a few days in a row. So I personally have recently purchased the Move With Us Busy Girl Workouts program, and that's really great because firstly, they're quick workouts, so it's not a long hour-long workout where I'm getting really tired, but it's also the fact that I'm a morning workout person. So I used to do CrossFit at 5:30 in the morning. I could not imagine doing that now. But I get up at 6 a.m. at the moment. I do my 30 to 40 minute workout, and I'm still able to start work by about 8:15. So that's really convenient for me, and it does have a good split. I do supplement that with walking, the occasional hike when I can manage it. And I also purchased a spin bike and Les Mills on demand. So I'm a big fan of RPM and sprint because of the amount of joint issues I have. I always find cycling quite therapeutic for my body. So if my back's sore, I jump on the bike, do an RPM class, and it feels really good afterwards. So that's what works for me. So every second day or so, I'll do a cycling class. I was also going to an infrared sauna. There was recently a recovery center that opened up near me, and I thought I'd give it a go. I felt really good using it, but I did listen to another podcast or read some information online where a woman suggested not going to an infrared sauna while you still have your implants in, apparently because it can kind of move the toxins around your body. So I have stopped doing that for now, and I will start that up once I have recovered from my surgery, once I'm able to go into it again. I've recently started fortnightly massages with one of my friends. She's a massage therapist, and she gets into all the sore areas, especially in my legs, to try and help me so that I can stay moving up until my surgery. So the next one on the list was the itching and the ringing in my ears. I spoke to my GP about this as part of my 2022 plan to get through my list of medical things that I wanted to to clear up. And she had a look in my ears and referred me to an ear, nose and throat specialist to have a look at. I've actually apparently got like a dermatitis in my ear, and to also complete microsuctioning, which sounds disgusting, but apparently I've got quite a buildup of wax in my ear. But also when it comes to the ear ringing, I am now very careful with my hearing and I'll wear earplugs to all gigs. I used to wear earplugs when I would go to a normal gym, like a gym that had an RPM room, because I was so close to the speakers that after a 45-minute class, my ear ringing would be worse. So I used to have to wear earplugs for that kind of situation. And I also remember doing some reading back in the day when I first experienced the ringing in my ears, and swapping things like earphones for headphones is better for your ears because there's more room between where the sound is and your eardrum. So I wear headphones whenever I am wanting to listen to music on my own. Next on the list was skin issues and psoriasis. I'm not great at being consistent with these kind of things, but generally in winter, I have to use a really mild body wash or the skin issues get worse. So that was where I have like a psoriasis, and it generally starts around my chest and then expands from there. And I need to get on top of it super quickly, otherwise it just gets out of control. So I've tried a few different products, but Mugu especially for me has been really great. So I use their, I think it's their cleansing or shower milk and their normal everyday moisturizer. But recently at my local pharmacy, they had a special where if you bought two Mugu products, you got a free mini eczema and psoriasis cream. And I'd never used that product before, but oh my goodness, it is amazing. My skin in the last couple of weeks especially is so bad to the point where I can't wear my fitness watch because it starts a rash on my wrist. I can't wear earrings that I've been wearing for years because suddenly I'm reacting badly to them, and that actually started a rash in my ears too. So I've used that particular product on the skin issues and it's cleared them up within a couple of days. Like, they look really good. Yeah, I found that worked really well for me. The next one on the list was the weird body odor that I've been having, particularly in my right armpit. Nothing has worked really for this one so far. And also my skin's really sensitive, particularly in my armpits. So if I use a body wash apart from the Mugu, I end up getting a rash in my underarms. But then also if I use particular brands, it happens as well. So I have found that I can use Dove Clinical Protection, Lady Speed Stick, and then the Nivea sprays. They're a bit more gentle on my skin, but none of them really stop the body odor. They definitely have worked well for me in the past, but yeah, it just seems to be something that's cropped up recently that I can't seem to shake it. The next one was weight gain. So I had seen that dietitian, and as well as talking through my trigger foods in the high FODMAP foods, she did sort of talk through a healthy eating plan, and it's something that is so maintainable every day. And it's not like a crash diet. It's not anything that happens fast. I just feel really good when I eat that way. I'm not great at sticking to it because I do love my sweets. But yeah, I've definitely tried that. I work out most mornings. So as I mentioned before, a mix of weights, high intensity training and RPM based on the Move With Us and the Les Mills Plus RPM and Sprint. I also have a couple of dogs that I like to walk. So if you ever hear some shaking or some wandering around in the background of the podcast, that'll be my two dogs. So I like to take them for walks every now and then as well. When it comes to the brain fog and concentration issues, I do find that when I'm eating better, I definitely can focus for longer on certain tasks, and the stopping halfway through a sentence, I don't think it happens as often, but yeah, that definitely helps. When I have anything less than 7 hours of sleep, and I know I am so blessed that I can have 7 hours of sleep. Some people can't because of having children and being shift workers. But if I have anything less than 7 hours of sleep, I really struggle to function. I struggle to form a proper conversation. And so I have to make sure that I'm getting to bed at a decent time so that I can focus on anything that I'm doing the next day. I've also found, like, when it comes to reading books, over the last few years I've struggled to read a page in a book without my thinking trailing off to somewhere else. But I've just found that if I get the right book, it's a little bit easier to stay focused, but it's still not perfect. So yeah, I found that helpful for me. When it comes to the fatigue, that was next on the list. Just making sure I get enough sleep, make sure I try and eat well, and make sure I move. Movement doesn't have to be an intensive workout every day. It can be a bit of stretching. It can be a bit of yoga. It can be a walk. Just get your body to move every day, and it definitely helps. The tired looking eyes was next on the list. I've tried all sorts of creams, you know, vitamin A, vitamin C, different brands, but nothing seems to help that. So I'm hoping that the sunken in look around my eyes is something that improves like it has for many other women who've had this particular surgery. And finally, the one that I'd read about recently was the ocular migraines. They were only happening a couple of times a year for me. And it was only after I had my implants done that they started. And I'm really lucky where they're not particularly bad. I lose vision a little bit, like it becomes like this white orb. And if I get on top of it super quickly, if I can see the little wiggle in my sight, I jump on the painkillers, I go into a dark room and lay down for an hour and I'm normally okay. I didn't have a Mirena put in particularly for migraines. I didn't realize it benefited them at all. I had the Mirena put in for avoiding endometriosis coming back, but definitely since I've had it in the last 18 months, I have not had a migraine at all. So that's worked well for me. So yeah, that covers everything that I've personally tried to manage the symptoms before knowing that it was possibly breast implant illness that was causing this. So I'm hoping that this might be able to help people if they wanted to try any of these products. I'll try and put some photos on the Instagram. So that is the Could It Be II podcast Instagram, if you wanted to have a look at those. But thank you for listening. Next week I will provide you with a bit of a list and things that I'm organizing and buying in the lead up to my surgery. I've already started. We're about 3 weeks out from the time when I'm recording this particular episode, so I'll give you a bit of a list on what I'm preparing for. And then yeah, within the next few weeks I'll be going in for surgery and tracking how I'm going to see whether I start to feel better. Take care, and I'll speak to you next time. You can find me on Instagram on Could It Be II Podcast. Thank you to my incredibly talented partner, Jacob Tendale, for the intro and outro music. All the recording, editing, and artwork is done by me. Thanks for listening.